I'm excited today, Tucker.
What do you got?
The sun is shining, the birds are chirping, and we've been recording many episodes every day in a row in preparation.
Give it up for day nine.
Day 15.
I actually don't know what day it is. It might not be nine, but it's certainly like more than five.
I feel like Mr. Krabs ringing the bell.
That was the reference.
Yeah. No, but you're right. For those of you who didn't get the reference, we are Mr. Krabs ringing the bell.
SpongeBob.
If you don't know, if you're wondering why we've been doing this over and over again, we've been recording every day.
They don't know that we're doing this over and over.
They don't know. They have no idea. This is coming out over the course of weeks, but we are going, we've been recording every day, trying to think of something new to talk about every day for the podcast. Because Tucker's got a kid on the way.
Okay, first off, we've been killing it.
We have been killing it.
We just had a guest episode. I'm not saying who it is.
But Tucker's having a kid very soon, so we're trying our best to create
very soon
a semblance of a backlog.
So that I can take some time away from everything.
But today, we decided that we enjoyed last time that we went into Reddit. And we took a little swim through. Nothing like taking a little swim through Reddit. Getting in fishing? Fishing for good times, perhaps?
Ted doesn't know how to fish. He doesn't know how
Either
to
way,
fish.
That's we're my doing confession. Reddit. We're looking at confessions on Reddit today. Let's take it easy. Take it easy podcast. We're taking it easy, dude. And I'm leaning back.
Whoa, you can't be leaning back.
Root beer! Just kidding. It's a Topo Chico Lime.
Topo Chico Yingling, Lime? America's oldest brewery. Pennsylvania proud.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Weirdly, though, Yingling Stadium or Yingling Center or whatever, there's one. It's in Yingling Florida. Center. Yeah, there's a Yingling themed center in Florida. What is that doing there?
I've never heard of this. Why is Yingling Center in Florida?
I know. It's strange. You'd think that they'd have some sort of foothold in Pennsylvania, but they don't.
Oh, they have a brewery in Tampa. Whoa. And they wanted to partner with USF through a 10-year naming rights deal for the USF Sundome. This is coming from the Google AI overview. I don't know.
Wow. It's a shame how often I look at the AI overview.
Oh, it's so convenient. It's so convenient. But it's wronged me so many times that I always am like, okay, but that was the AI overview, guys. And I see a lot of people do that now. They're like, hey, this is this. But that was the AI overview. So take it with a grain of salt.
It's frustrating because it's like, I don't know what... What did Google show us before? Is there a way to turn off the AI overview? Because I used to be able to get the same amount of answer from Google without the AI overview. It was like, it would just show me like a Reddit post or something.
Well, yeah, like it's AI overview right now, and underneath is the Wikipedia article. I wonder if AI overview had, like, Wikipedia is seeing a plummeting of traffic to the site. Because normally I'd Google it, I'd go to Wikipedia, and I'd read it.
I feel like Wikipedia owes a lot of their success to Google in the first place, though.
That's true.
They're paying the piper.
Okay, that's kind of confusing, though, because Google's like, it's like a tool, but it's also like you have to use Google.
It's also a website. I mean, are you on Chrome?
Yeah.
You a Chrome
head?
It's
like everything. Yeah, it's my email. It's my browser app. Like, it's the physical application on the computer, but it's also the website that I'm using.
Yeah.
And it's the email I'm using, and it's where we like exchange files and write things. It's kind of all consuming.
Yeah. It's what Elon Musk wanted as the X app.
He wanted the everything.
Oh, he
app.
Desperately wished he could have a Google level power.
Oh man, I bet he tried to buy it for like a couple Teslas and a smile.
Could you imagine if he had Google? He would be altering the search results like nobody else. He would, because he fucking does that shit. He would, because like, sure, Google probably does manipulate some results to some extent.
Yeah.
You know, but Elon Musk would be tweeting out like, that's it. You guys pissed me off today. I'm not allowing you to search for Donald Trump anymore. Those results are gone.
And yeah.
Everyone would just have to be like, okay, I guess.
Yeah. You would see I think that's one of those situations though where it's less, I feel like it'd be more consequential than like the, like, cause people still stayed on Twitter when he took over and people are still
on
there.
You guys all flopped on that one.
And all the other apps like the Blue Sky and stuff like that, they haven't really taken off too much. Threads.
It's because you're still using Twitter. Talk us through your philosophy as a Twitter user, because I never really use Twitter.
The only times I really post on Twitter is to say that I've posted a new video.
Is your Twitter era over? I feel like you used to make
Twitter era was like, I don't think I've had my Twitter era since like 2021. Like, I feel like Twitter's just like gone downhill. There was a golden era of Twitter. It was like 2019 to 2021 ish kind of zone
about
for me.
This a lot. You bring this up probably like every quarter.
Because I miss it. It used to be a period where it was just like, I would make a silly little tweet and then like 20 people I know would reply to it, and I'm replying to people's stuff. People are replying to each other's tweets and stuff. It was like, actually, like, there was just like real communication on there.
The glory days.
And it was awesome. It was awesome. It felt like $1 million all the time. And now it's just like, it's just so fucked up. It's so fucked up now with all the, with the different monetization stuff. And it's like,
oh, it's so monetized. He was like, how can we monetize? But then after he did it, every other social media company was like, well, everyone's still using it. Everyone's still using it.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like whenever I go on under any tweet, it'll be like the most inconsequential thing about anything. And you'll have some blue check at the top and just be like, well, how does this relate to trans people? Because that's something I'm mad about. And I'll be like, how did you even get that from this conversation? It's a cute puppy. It's a cute puppy. And it's like, and it'll be like a reply in a tweet, and it'll be like, trans person would have killed that puppy. And it's like, what are you talking about? What do you mean?
And somebody would be like, you know, he's right, though. It's like, okay, but based on what, guys?
Yeah. And I feel like I'm scrolling Twitter, and I'm always kind of got like this face on. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, what the hell?
Oh. Twitter is really plummeting these days in terms of website. I'm starting to do a little digging into, I think website traffic for Twitter is going down a lot. It also should still be called Twitter. Twitter is a good name. You tweet on Twitter and like it had the little bird. You know what changed? Twitter was like the old McDonald's or like an old Pizza Hut or something.
Yeah.
And X is like the new like gray cube McDonald's. The minimalist millennial gray depression cube.
Yeah.
That's what X is. He was like, how can we suck all of the humanity out of this app? Oh, we'll just make it an X. Arguably one of the least human letters, in my opinion.
Wow. It's like Leonardo da Vinci with his photo of the guy with his legs and arms splayed out. That's an X. It's like the
the least humanizing sketch of a person. They're like splayed out. Like they're about to be dissected by an alien on a table.
Yeah.
And that's us using Twitter. And Elon Musk is dissecting our minds with AI. That's what's happening.
This fucking blows, dude. At least Reddit's pure.
Reddit is pure.
There's nothing full wrong of with Reddit ads at all. Now. Is it
I
really?
Remember back. Oh, Reddit has so many ads now.
Oh,
I've been
you know what
them.
It is? Yeah, Reddit is full of ads, and I get tricked a lot by Reddit ads.
Yeah, because they look exactly like a post.
Yeah, they do.
You like cut. Yeah, so what we were just talking before we went live is we just found out that iPhone 17 is coming out. But for weeks now, Apple has been advertising on Reddit, and they're like, September 9th, it is going to be the most jaw-dropping, awe-inspiring announcement we've ever done.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, this is coming from the people who made iPod, iPad, iPhone, Mac, iTunes. Like, it's like
you know what I think would be the biggest?
And it's just a new phone with the cameras in different, just a different setup of the cameras.
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing they can really change around.
I'm like, dude, my phone has three cameras. I don't know what the fuck each one does. I only need one. Just give me the best one.
Yeah.
What is the lesser camera for?
I would say if Apple's look and if we got an Apple exec that listens to the podcast, we probably do. Listen up, okay?
Definitely.
This is how you bring Apple back. An Apple branded iDog.
Oh, like that little toy from like the mid-2000s?
Mm-hmm.
The light up square head thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
Apple
bought one
branded iDog. It's got the same. It's got like all. They partner with Boston Dynamics. They make that thing able
they
to
make
fucking scale walls. You make that thing able to get around the house as easily as
Wait,
possible.
I got a funny thing that's more just for you.
Okay,
that people can listen to. Boston Dynamics always has like cutting edge, like traditional robotic tech. They make like humanoid or dog looking robots that like walk around and dance and stuff. My dad and his wife are genuinely afraid of those.
Really?
They're like, yeah, they're like, they are creepy. That's not right. They're going to take over the world. I'm like, dude,
it's just
a robot.
Wait,
like,
okay, hold on. How did they get access to the knowledge of Boston Dynamics? This doesn't seem like something and his wife would be aware of.
They went to the Boston Science Museum and Boston Dynamics had like an exhibit.
Okay, so why would they go to the Science Museum if they're going to get upset by science? Why are they going there? What, that's like...
The technology behind the robot isn't that... It's just like really refined technology that we've had for a while. Like gyros and hydraulics are nothing new.
Well, the new one that they released, the new robot doesn't use hydraulics anymore.
It probably uses some sort of pneumatic or like piston, though.
Yeah.
Making things move like that is just like, yeah, we've always known how to do that. We're just getting better at it.
Right.
What you should be scared of, Dad, is like the internet and the media is run by like AI and the government and other governments like discreetly. Like that's the actual problem, Dad, not Boston Dynamics.
Yeah.
Like, just kick it over. They're like,
well, they're
what
getting
happens
really good at not being kicked over. They're
Dude,
getting
well,
real.
That's
like
true.
The whole
that's
thing.
True.
Like, you watch a single Boston Dynamics video and they're showing how kick resistant they are. That's honestly the fucking motto of Boston Dynamics is like, let's make a bunch of robots that are kick resistant.
Yeah,
that's
not
the
proof,
worst
though.
Thing you could have said.
Kick resistant. Okay, so like during like their COVID peak of lunacy, they were like, what if they make these drones and they could kill people? I'm like, how do you think we've been waging war in the Middle East for decades, dude? We are using drones to kill people. It's not new. They just fly. They don't walk. The tech's already there, Dad. Mm-hmm. Why would they walk over to your house when they could fly there?
Here's what I think. I think that there's a little bit of truth to what's being said here.
Are you kidding me? Ted's an anti-vaxxer. COVID
no,
nut.
No.
He just outed himself. That
Give
was
me
his
all
confession.
Of them. Give me all of them. Tested or
okay,
untested.
No,
Give
that's
me all
too
of
much,
them.
Though. That's too much. There's a fine line in the middle.
I'll tell you how much I like vaccines. Put me in the trials.
You get... Maximum is 3 COVID vaccines. That's your max, and you're not allowed to get the flu shot, and that's your normalcy. You're not skewed too far one way or the other.
Okay. Well, you know what's funny? That is close to me. I got the two regular COVIDs, and then I got the booster. But there was a second booster I never ended up getting, I think.
Yeah, because you hit your three allotted for a normal person. More than that, and it's like, okay. And this applies to like our demographic, like healthy young people.
Okay. I'll tell you what I am interested in. I'm interested in the fucking mRNA shit. That sounds cool.
Oh, like the technology? Well, isn't that what they were using?
Yeah. Yeah, the technology. Well, that with that technology, they're like able to do like more stuff. Like the mRNA stuff got a lot of research because of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And they like made a lot of progress with it. So, you know, maybe we need a couple more of those. And then next thing you know, we got a shot for cancer.
Well, cancer's not a virus.
Yeah.
Cancer's like unrestricted cell growth, I think, is what a cancer is.
Can't you let me be just like, think of the wonder of the future?
You love the future. You're a technology whore.
Confession.
Sorry.
Confession. Sorry, I'm a technology whore. I'm a little bit of a slut for technology.
Yeah, I'm trying to go backwards a little bit. I'm trying to reduce the amount of tech in my life. Although
Tucker's
I will say this,
stone-pilled.
Yeah, I'm stone-pilled. I will say this: I did just get an OLED TV, and I think that is the best thing I've ever bought technology-wise.
Oh, okay.
It makes my PS5 look like a brand new console. It's like, wow. Oh, damn, this is what this is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Because when they're developing it, they're probably testing it on like the best of the best monitors. And they're probably like when they show you stuff and when they're like talking about the PS5, that's because they've been playing on OLED.
Yeah.
In-house. Like PlayStation doesn't play on anything but the best, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, they're luxurious. This is luxurious.
Yeah, because I'm either like have a nice CRT, that's a nice CRT,
mm-hmm.
or have an OLED. Because now I'm like, I don't even want to watch TV on my old TV, which was a fine TV.
Yeah.
That OLED feels like I'm drinking fruit punch with my eyeballs. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do know what you mean.
It's crisp and like juicy colors.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It is awesome.
Yeah, OLED's a good technology. The thing is, my monitors are OLED. The thing is that what are the fucking odds? So what I was about to say is the thing is that my monitors, they'll do a thing where they want to screen optimize all the time because like you can get certain visuals
you
like
get burn in, right?
Yeah, burned in. It always feels like the monitors are doing it though when I'm working on the monitors. Like when I'm using them, it always is like in a minute I'm about to turn off for an indeterminate amount of time to clean myself. And as I was saying just now, the monitor just, my right monitor just decided to start trying to do that.
Oh, that feels
as I brought up the thought, I think it was hearing me.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah.
I bet Elon Musk's behind that.
Mm-hmm.
This is my PSA for the day. If you're on the fence about getting an OLED TV, like wait for a good deal. I just got a 48-inch LG for $700. That's a good deal for OLED. Go for it. It's worth it. It's a huge upgrade.
Yeah.
All right, let's dive into the real stuff.
Yeah, let's do it.
This episode is sponsored by Mint Mobile. With the baby on the way, we've got new expenses piling up left and right. Diapers, medical bills, and baby gear I didn't even know existed. I'll tell you one thing, babies are not cheap. But luckily, there are ways we can cut costs in other areas of our life, like our wireless bill. With Mint Mobile, we can get the coverage and speed that we're used to, but for way less money. Ditch your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages, and head over to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. With Mint, you can get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months of unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month.
But hurry, because this deal ends September 22nd.
Like I said before, with all the new baby expenses piling up, my wife and I are looking to cut some costs. And Mint Mobile is a great first step. I'm definitely looking into switching to Mint Mobile to save some money.
Quick stalling and start saving when you make the switch. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/takeiteasy.
That's mintmobile.com/takeiteasy. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited time new customer offer for the first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. Now let's get back to the episode. Here we go. First one.
So this is from Confessions on Reddit.
No, it's from Confession.
Okay, what's the difference?
Not Confessions, plural. Okay, r/Confession has like 11 million subs.
Okay.
And r/Confessions has like 1 or 2 million.
Oh, okay.
So this is like 10 times the pool.
Oh, okay.
And so in theory, the best posts should be 10 times better than on the other one.
Okay, I like that. It's a larger pool, larger swath of people that you can confess.
Now, with today's confessions, I'll be reading them live for the first time. I'll be reading them for the first time live. And so I haven't read these before. Right off the bat, this one has 100,000 upvotes. Or karma.
Okay. 100,000 upvotes?
That's pretty high on Reddit. That's pretty fucking high. All right. Here we go. Here's the title. Neighbor tried to get my mom fined over our shed, so I got his $40,000 pool filled in. Okay, here's the story.
Whoa.
I live with my mom. She's quiet, keeps to herself, never bothers anyone. A few months ago, our neighbor decided to report her to the city for having an illegal shed in the backyard. It was total BS. The shed's been there for years and has full permits. An inspector came out, checked everything, and left without saying a word. But the neighbor, smug, proud, thought he had scared us. So I did a little digging. Turns out his brand new pool was way too close to the property line and illegally built over a utility easement.
Whoa.
I reported him, attached photos, quoted city codes. 2 weeks later, the city ordered him to either move it, impossible, or fill it in. He lost the whole thing, $40,000 down the drain, literally. Now he gets to look at our completely legal shed every day while standing over a pile of dirt where his pool used to be. Mom sleeps great now.
Wow.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That is like a perfect example of mind your own business.
Yeah, seriously.
Because if he hadn't cared about their shed or what they're doing in their backyard, he'd be chilling in his pool.
Dude, yeah. There's so many instances, I feel like, on Reddit especially, of like little moments where some neighbor's being a piece of shit, and then someone does some research and they find out that there's something wrong with the property lines or some bullshit has happened, and then that person who was acting like an asshole just like loses out big time. That's a strong confession, though. I mean, that's a winning confession. I feel like that's why it has so many upvotes, is because everyone's like, fuck yeah, dude.
I would rate that. That's a 10 out of 10 confession. That's as good as it gets. I mean, you fucked a guy up for 40 grand and a ton of work and all this shit. Like, his life dream could have been to get that pool.
Yeah.
And he did it. He finally did it. And
now he's done. He's just done.
And what if their shed looks like shit too?
I wonder if like that would make him even angrier though. I feel like maybe in the night.
I feel like that is so risky.
He might take the shed.
I think this is risky enough to where that guy could easily show up to your house and kill you. Whoa. And just be like, this was my life's goal. You just ruined it forever. If he finds out, like, I've got no wife, no kids. I'm just going to go out with a bang on my new worst enemy. That's the kind of risk you're taking with that big of 40 grand.
Yeah, that's
like
a lot of money.
Year's salary for a good portion of the population.
Yeah.
100% of the money you make in a year just burned, which he's probably if he's putting in a pool, I'm sure he's making more than 40.
Yeah, no, he's definitely making more than that.
But still, that's an insane amount of money. That's a brand new nice car paid off.
Yeah. Wow.
In full. Yeah, that's risky. And my one thing is like, what if the confessor here is like a piece of shit? And what if their shed is like a piece of shit?
Yeah, what if it's made of dog slop? What if it's rotting, smells?
Yeah, and what if, yeah, it very well could. It could be like a chicken coop or some nasty
shit. But it
seems
like it passed with flying colors to the inspector.
Just because it passed, like it was legally allowed to
be there.
He left
without a word, which would have been kind of strange in the moment. Like, guy comes in, inspects it, and just leaves without a word.
You're trying to talk to him, and he's just like,
shh, I don't speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am worried that this confessor is a piece of shit and their shed sucked really bad. But, you know, I'm going to hope for the best. I'm going to hope their shed was bomb. Because what if he was like, hey, your shed is like falling apart. It looks like dog slop. And I just put this nice pool in. Like, you guys should upgrade. I feel like I would be really receptive to that conversation if I had a piece of shit shed, which I wouldn't. But you know what I mean? I think this could be, this person could be evil. Either way, good confession. Hell of a story.
Yeah, hell of a story.
Hell of a story.
Next confession.
The next confession. This is the title. Terminally ill and racking up credit card debt with zero fucks to give.
Oh, fuck.
Here's the story. I've had cancer for 2 years now. Did chemo, lost my leg, beat odds, and managed to even go back to work. Well, shit hit the fan and treatment stopped working. Probably got weeks, maybe a couple months at best. I am 22. Wow. Don't own a house. Don't own my car. Have maybe $2,000 in the bank. So I took out a credit card. $6,500 limit. 0% APR for 20 months. I was previously building up a good credit score. And am now buying whatever the fuck I want. The debt will die with me, and I give no fucks. And if you want to beef me about driving your bank fees up with this behavior, at least you get to live, LOL. That's the confession.
How many likes does it have?
This has 97,000 upvotes.
Whoa. And they're, how long ago was this?
This was posted 5 months ago.
And how long do they have to live?
They had said possibly weeks.
Look at their profile.
The last time...
What was the last time they posted?
Was this the last time they commented was 3 months ago.
Whoa. Okay.
This post could be from beyond, from the other side.
Beyond the grave. Well, rest in peace to this person, first of all. Second of all... I think that there are people out there who have done a lot worse.
I don't have a problem with this.
I don't have a problem with this at all.
They got dealt a bad hand.
She got fucked by the world. Might as well live it up.
And by living it up, they have a credit card with a $6,500 limit. I think my initial credit card I ever got was a $10,000 limit at 18. So that's already like $6,500. Like, go wild.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like,
honestly,
okay,
like, yeah.
Wells Fargo has got it. Like, don't worry. That's what the interest they're making in a split second. Yeah. They're making that on interest in milliseconds.
What's the highest limit on a credit card that anyone's ever had?
Oh, I'm sure it's almost
sometimes reaching over $100,000 for top tier cards. Wow.
I think once you get past the point of that card, I don't know if you're necessarily using like traditional credit anymore.
Yeah.
You're probably on a different system that people down low like me don't know about.
Yeah, some sort of fucking, I don't know, white
some
glove
sort of advanced
white glove nonsense. Yeah. I'm using white glove because I learned the term recently.
Oh, from our guest?
Yeah, from our guest. He used the term white
glove.
Yeah,
he was very white glove.
Mm.
Very smart.
He was smart. No, but white glove is like fancy treatment. VIP.
Well, we treated him very well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We VIP'd him.
Absolutely. I'd say this is like, yeah. No, you're right. Especially with a $6,500 limit, it's like, okay. So there's not too much damage they can. That's honestly probably why they have shit like that. Is so people can't do, like, if people go wild. They can't like do crazy damage.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what my limit is. I think my limit on the business card I applied for, which is like my, I applied for with my social security, I think it was like 20 grand maybe.
Whoa.
30 grand. Yeah, it's a high limit. It's a high limit. Yeah, better look out. Take it easy. I'm going to fucking run us up a bill.
Yeah, seriously.
No, I'm not. No, if I got terminally ill, though, maybe I would. Knock on wood, though, I've got my health.
Yeah.
But if I don't, if you're young and you got dealt a bad hand and you're going out, I feel like spending $6,500 of Chase Bank's money or Navy Fed's money or whoever you bank with.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't even matter.
They've screwed so many people. Those businesses have screwed so many people.
It's, yeah, it's a bank. A bank is like
there's the definitely import. It's not. Yeah, like you're not. You're the karmic balance is still leaning towards you when it comes to.
It's not like you're taking the money from like a single mom at Walmart. You're taking it from
the response in the comments here?
Well, it's a very positive response. People are very much on their side. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how is anyone going to, you know, be upset at this?
Yeah. How can you even have a problem?
If they were like, because this doesn't even affect anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's a write-off. Yeah. It's a write-off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. No, I hope they got something.
Yeah. Good for them.
Good for them. Go out with a bang. And that's a pretty minor bang. If I was like that fucked up, I might take somebody with me.
Like fight someone or like take someone down?
I saw this in Binghamton. This woman whipped her. We're sitting in traffic. Full bag McDonald's trash. Boom. Just out the window.
Oh my God.
I was seeing red, dude.
You chased her
down. I was like, no, what am I going to do?
That's a scenario that calls for a pit maneuver. You know?
See, I'm a successfully driven person. I've got a lot to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So people with a lot to lose can't risk fucking with people who have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if I was in a position like this commenter or this poster who has nothing to lose,
mm-hmm.
God help them. Because I'm going to fucking serve them some justice.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's sort of the one advantage of social media nowadays is that if you like people can catch people doing bullshit. Yeah. Although on the other side of it, it always annoys me when I see like when someone's doing like not something super crazy, but you'll see like a middle-aged mom and they'll pull out their phone and they'll kind of like they'll hold their phone from like here. You know,
I'm not following you right now.
I guess I'll pull up my actual phone in order to make this demonstration where they'll be like this. Like you'll see it on video. I'll see several people in like a video of somebody's like a freak out video or something that you see online mm-hmm. and you'll see people pull out their phone like this and they're like, or they'll do it with one hand.
Just to film the interaction.
There's an energy to the way that they hold it where it's like,
yeah,
where they're like, I got you on camera, you know, like I got you right now.
No, it is the double-edged sword. I mean, cameras probably help more than they hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as hurt. It's more of like, okay, but it's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
You know, like I couldn't imagine being like, I'm going to film somebody for something mm-hmm. that's like not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Like if you're doing something that's like dangerous as fuck and like I could suffer consequences or somebody could get hurt or die or something, sure, somebody film it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like a couple guys arguing, it's like, do we really need to be filming this?
Yeah, we don't.
You know. But yeah,
people think they're going to get their moment somehow. You know.
Yeah, they think they're going to get their million views, which you get a million views on a one-off TikTok, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you're not even set up for monetization.
You're not even set up for monetization. Trust me, big hotshots like me, we are set up for monetization so that when we do strike gold, it pays dividends.
Indeed.
No, my TikTok, I think I have one TikTok.
Look at that. Look at that. Wow. Look at that.
Yeah, that's all you're hearing.
No, yeah, I mean that is your one TikTok and you're in like a different
mode.
Oh,
you're quoting me. Well, that was one of the first.
This is the audio listeners or people who don't know Love You to Death. This is a TikTok that Tucker posted where he caught a fish, and it was like early into his fishing journey. So it was like,
yeah, it was one of my first,
you know, there was a lot of wonder in his eye, and he was showing it off, and he was like, look at that. Look at that. I love the voice, the way that he says it is awesome. Look at that.
I say it a few different ways that convey different meanings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah, no. Look at that. It's awesome. I love it. That's one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite videos of you for sure.
Yeah, it was a good moment. It was one of my first striped bass in the kayaks. Always exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all I ever posted.
Yeah. But there was a lot of potential seen in that.
Oh, the people saw the potential.
It sort of had the same energy as that one guy where he's given some. He's like, there's this one dude who's always floating in a pool, and then his wife brings him like kind of like healthy snacks, and he'll eat some, and he'll be like, "That's phenomenal. Give me 15 of them right now."
Oh yeah, yeah.
It kind of had the same energy, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, I went on to fish for a lot more striped bass the next like 3 years.
Yeah.
4 years. And you did. It's been a while. Yeah. No, this year was the best year yet. We were slamming them.
Ooh.
Me and Larry.
Ooh.
All right. Here's the title. I faked liking sparkling water for 3 years, and now I'm trapped.
Okay. Whoa.
Yeah, here's
okay.
the story.
Okay. This is nice.
This is right
this
up
is
your
like
alley.
Not well, I like sparkling water.
Yeah, you were on that well, you actually just had a Topo Chico.
I'm having one. This is my second on this pod.
Yeah, no, Ted's a water guy. Always has been.
Yeah, not a huge beer guy, but I'm a water guy. I'm a sparkling water guy. I take just straight from my parents. They're really into the seltzers and stuff. Polar seltzer. That's what they're all.
Oh, Worcester, baby.
They always got it in the fucking.
They always got it in
the fridge.
Right off 290. There's the factory. You can see it. Big old polar bear up there.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyways,
here's the story. I'm 30 now, but this started when I was around 27, during a phase where I was trying really hard to be one of those put-together adults who meal prep, drink sparkling water, and have plants that aren't just dying slowly in the corner. Okay, so I think Ted wrote this.
Whoa.
Because this sounds like something, this sounds like a Ted phase right here. Meal prepping.
Read that last like set of three examples, because that was kind of crazy.
During a phase where I was trying really hard to be one of those put-together adults who meal prep, drink sparkling water, and have plants that aren't just dying slowly in the corner.
Damn. Okay. Fuck. Yeah, right. No, that definitely is
hitting close
my
to home
existence
already.
For sure.
So,
fuck.
I bought a 12-pack of LaCroix because, you know what? That's what the cool, healthy people were drinking. First sip, it tasted like someone whispered the word fruit into a cup of TV static. Absolutely disgusting.
That's a pretty good description of sparkling water.
Yeah, that is really
But this
good.
Is also sounds like this is coming from someone who like only drinks like fucking cherry soda.
Yeah.
At the same time, where it's like, whenever someone's like, yeah, LaCroix is like, if a fruit was distantly somewhere and also sparkling water, and it's like, yeah, it's not a fucking sugary soda. It's like a water first. Slightly elevated water. Like,
yeah,
that's not
They're
a bad
to make
thing.
Water
that's just
more
different
fun.
Than it's just not a soda.
Yeah, people do compare it to soda too much.
Yeah.
All right, here's continuing. Absolutely disgusting. But wow. I had already posted it on my Instagram story with the caption, "New addiction, LOL." And this was the beginning of my downfall.
Oh, no.
Friends started bringing LaCroix over when they visited. Coworkers stocked it in the office fridge because I liked it. My girlfriend, now fiance, thought it was cute how into sparkling water I was. So she bought me a SodaStream for Christmas. Now I'm in too deep. I've become the guy who nods thoughtfully while drinking what is essentially spicy sadness. I have flavors in my fridge with names like Pamplemousse and Limoncello, and I pretend like I can tell the difference. I can't. It all tastes like carbonated regret. Sometimes I just want a normal drink, But if I ever even open a Gatorade, someone will say, whoa, no LaCroix today? And I'll just fake laugh like, aha, guys, switch it up. Meanwhile, my soul is quietly screaming. Anyway, if you're young and reading this, never lie about your beverages. That stuff will haunt you. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
That's crazy. Do you know what's funny, though? This does sound similar to a lot of Reddit confessions I've heard in the past, where it's like, I feel like I worry that this is either the source, like this is either like the original seed of many other maybe fake Reddit stories, or this is maybe just, this is just like the true original one, or it's been modeled after something else. Whatever the case, I feel like I hear a lot about like stories from Reddit where someone's like, yeah, I said that this was something, and then my whole world just suddenly became super like malleable to my needs. Like everyone was just serving this to me at a level that is almost beyond human.
This person could easily be like, oh yeah, just getting kind of sick of it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, they could. They could just be like, ah, yeah, no, I just, you know, I'm more into this.
Just have
now.
have a diet Coke and be like, yeah, I switched to diet soda. I was getting kind of sick of the LaCroix. That's yeah. that right there. Boom. There's your out. That's it.
Yeah, and it's not like a huge enough deal where people are going to freak out, where they're going to be like, you're the LaCroix guy. You got to have LaCroix. You can't change that. Like, it's not like, it's not like one of those fucking, you know, young adult novels where it's like, whenever a human is born, becomes an adult in this society, they choose their drink of choice. It's the only drink they're allowed to have for the rest of their life because of the government. Like that, there's no situation where that's the case. So it's just,
wait, are you talking about Divergent or whatever?
I don't know. Like any of that shit, like Hunger Games, Divergent, any sort of post-apocalyptic authoritarian government young adult novel.
My confession for the episode is I don't like the Hunger Games, and I think that if you're an adult that likes it, you're purely enjoying it for nostalgic reasons.
Interesting. Like the reading books of the Hunger Games?
The concept, the books, the movies, they're for tweens.
Mm-hmm.
They're not for adults.
Mm.
The concept is, I just can't. Emma and I listened to the first one on audiobook during our Florida road trip.
Yeah.
And it was really grating.
Yeah, I think what the problem is for the Hunger Games books for me is that
you're not into them either.
I'm a sucker for a good world building, and I don't really fully understand how this world works.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there. The biggest flaw is the world building because it kind of sucks.
Yeah, because it's interesting. It's interesting. Don't get me wrong, but like, if you're going to give me like all these districts and shit, and you're going to tell me this is where America was, like, I would say The Handmaid's Tale probably has better world building than fucking, than the Hunger Games, you know? Like, because you look at a map, you look at like a Hunger Games map. Have you looked at those? I always end up doing shit like this. Hunger Games.
Oh, I do like a good map.
America map. And you look at it, and it's like,
yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
And there's always like a fucking, like, whenever you have these maps, there's always, let me see if this is, yeah, capital city. Yeah, what's up with this?
Well, I also felt like people would just be like, no, we're not doing this. Like, we'll just fight you.
I sort of thought also that all of the districts occurred on the East Coast, but now some of these things I'm seeing are different.
No, it spans everything. You live in the luxury district.
I do?
Yeah.
I live in District 1.
Yeah, the Northeast, like half the East Coast and like the Northeast is like all just coal mining. Each one has like a different industrial usage.
Interesting. Which is so funny because that's just not how land works. That's just not how these areas of the country work, you know?
The problem with this
is Pennsylvania the coal one?
But yeah, it's like West Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York. It's, yeah, that whole chunk.
Yeah.
So the problem here, I think the Hunger Games would have been done better if they had just created a fictional world.
Yeah.
In which the world was like evolved into this naturally, not like the U.S. collapsed and then had this weird ritual shit happening.
Yeah, I think I get pretty strict when the U.S. If you tell me the U.S. collapsed, I'm like,
well, it's so.
I'm looking at that with a scientific lens. I'm like, what the? Okay, so how's this going to work? Huh? And you know what? But the thing is, too, whenever these you know U.S. collapse shits. Most of the time, I'm not seeing it in the Hunger Games one, but most of the time, you always see like a section of the country that's like the radioactive zone. You know what I'm talking about? There's always a radioactive zone.
There always
zone.
Is a little bit.
There's always
of
an
that
implication that nuclear weapons were used and that stayed radioactive, which I don't know. That's not really how it happens, is it? Especially if you're using airburst nukes.
Yeah, then it's just like radioactive everywhere, isn't it? Or everywhere that's like downwind.
Like I'm pretty sure the whole thing with either with airburst, I think, is that it doesn't create as much fallout.
Yeah, but I think the fireball is way more potent.
Yeah, fireball is more potent, but the radioactive fallout is less. Because I think with the first nukes we were doing, it was like, I mean, I guess they kind of all were like exploding before they hit the ground, though, right?
I think so.
But I just know in Japan, it was like a lot of shit was knocked up in the air.
Like a lot of radioactivity?
Yeah.
Well, those were early nukes. I mean, we hadn't perfected nuking. We probably still haven't.
We
haven't really
perfected nuking. I really hope we don't.
Yeah, that's one thing I hope we don't go that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, the world building, that might be exactly the reason that I can't get behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And there's also like weird creatures. So it's not like fully realistic. It's not like a nonfiction kind of setting.
Mm-hmm.
There's like altered weird things. And it's like trying to be too many different things.
Yeah.
But yeah, then there's like Divergent or whatever that one was. My sister was really into it. It's like kind of similar.
I'll tell you what I'm really into lately.
What?
Is this show called Foundation. On Apple TV. I might have told you about it. But it's sci-fi. I'll admit it. It's sci-fi.
Mm, yeah, you're a sci-fi guy.
It's based off of books that I've actually read before, or I actually haven't read the books this is specifically based on, like the Foundation books, but it's Isaac Asimov, which is he's like a sci-fi writer from like the 50s, and he's pretty prolific in the sense that like
he wrote iRobot.
Yeah, he was writing the first like robot shit, like in the 40s and 50s and stuff. Like he was the first robot guy to be taught, like to be kind of doing that stuff. And he kind of did the stuff where a lot of his series kind of like connected, but the Foundation series is about like 10,000, 15,000 years in the future, and it's about like basically this one guy. There's this new type of science called psychohistory where it's basically like a statistical sort of field where you can predict how society is going to move when you have enough of a pool to to draw off of, which is, you know, at this time it's like, you know, the society of humanity is like in the trillions at this point.
Yeah. Whoa, the trillions?
Yeah, like trillions. Like, damn. We're talking like trillions because there's like maybe like 8,000 planets settled or something like that.
Oh, shit, this is deep future.
Yeah, deep future, like we're talking like 15,000, the year 15,000 kind of thing.
Wow, okay.
And there's like a galactic empire that's going on, and this guy he's a scientist. And he's basically, he made this prediction, he posted this thing about how he believes that the Galactic Empire is going to fall in 1,000 years based on his science that he's done. Mm-hmm. And so he's, obviously the Empire doesn't like this. And the interesting thing about the Empire that's really cool, and what's also cool in the context of the show, is that the show occurs over, like, each season is over the course of, like, 100 years or 150 years or something like that. And then in the next season, you jump forward like 500 years or something like that.
So it's always a new cast.
No, it's not. Because the way it works is, in particular with the Empire, you've got this one guy, Cleon. He was the Emperor, and he decided, I'm going to start this thing called the Genetic Dynasty, which is basically at any given point, there is a young Cleon called Dawn. Then there is a middle-aged Cleon called Day, and an older Cleon called Dusk. They're all clones. And they're basically like just like three brothers on the throne that are all clones. And when the youngest one gets old enough, he becomes the Day, and then the Day becomes the Dusk, and then the Dusk like fucking dies. And it's basically just this set of clones that rules over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
Whoa. This actually sounds pretty neat.
And so it's played by the same three characters, and it's really good. And it's really interesting because it's like, there's just so many things that you touch on, like, it's just interesting how like the effect of having these clones rule for time affects things, and like just various like large timescale stuff. Really cool, fun world building. That shit, I love that shit. I love that shit.
So I found out a few cool things about this already.
Mm-hmm.
So Foundation was a book series before it was a TV series.
Right.
Like
yeah.
Most. So George Lucas was inspired by the Foundation book series. So their books inspired Star Wars?
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah, no. Like Isaac Asimov is like, he's like the...
Yeah.
He the is OG. The OG science
He's like the Tolkien
guy.
The Tolkien of sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there was a book series I read when I was a kid. Like my dad originally put me onto them. There's like these robot books that I would read where it was like in the future. And the, like there's another thing is this is where the three laws of robots comes from as well. It's from Isaac Asimov, which is like you can't like kill a human. You can't do this. You can't do that. And it's like, that's like a basis of a lot of like Isaac Asimov, like robot stuff. And I think it also applied in iRobot, which is like the big thing. It's like, oh, a robot killed a human kind of.
Yeah, this is, I'm like started diving in. Now I'm into Star Wars over here, like OG Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And this is this, and I'm assuming the Foundation is like this too, is a part of the space opera genre. Space opera. Because it's like romantic, adventurous, melodramatic story.
Yeah.
Set in space.
Yeah, and it's definitely it's good. If you check out that Foundation series, it's pretty good. There's three seasons. Third season's releasing every Friday right now, and it's another reason to be watching Apple TV. It's another usage beyond Severance.
That sounded like a plug right there.
Well, no, because I assume
and that's just one more reason to be watching Apple TV, guys.
Well, no, I assume the last time you were watching Severance or watching Apple TV was with Severance, right?
And you'd be wrong.
Really?
I started watching Chief of War with
Jason Momoa.
Exactly. We're like three or four episodes in. It's very good so far. I was enjoying it more when they were speaking. The cast learned or is just doing their best with the native Hawaiian language.
Oh, okay.
The whole first few episodes, there's no English. So it's all subtitles. And then it starts to transition into English. So Jason Momoa, who's a natural English speaker, is playing a fake indigenous Hawaiian who has to be bad at English. So all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, this sounds cheesy now. Because right. Jason Momoa is having to act like he doesn't know English. So he'll like say words without an accent though. Cause like, so for example, for the reason that it sounds so cheesy is cause like a few of my coworkers are Guatemalan. They don't speak great English. So when they do speak English, it's with a thick Guatemalan accent on the words.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like they can't pronounce some of the words as organically, but he'll pronounce words organically with English with no Hawaiian accent. And it would be like, oh, there would be a serious Hawaiian accent. And there'd just be certain syllables or consonants that you would struggle with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and there isn't that, which is fine. I don't think many shows have that, but all of a sudden it's been kind of jarring for me. Like episode 4 or 5, I was like, oh, like this is weird.
Huh.
But overall, pretty good show.
Wow.
Okay, here is the title. I gaslit my college library out of late fees by returning my own books. Here's the story. Back in college, aughts, one semester I took out several books for a big research project.
Okay.
This was back when internet research was not admissible and you needed to properly cite all your sources.
Oh, that's true. Because at a certain point, they were like,
don't use the internet.
Don't ever believe what you see on the internet. Like, there was no good sources on the internet at one point.
School and life got away from me, and I forgot about them for a while. That was until the end of the semester when I got a late library dues bill in the mail. I think the fees were 25 cents per book per day, if not more, and I had at least 10 books over a month late. I didn't have any money, and if you had outstanding library dues, you could not get your grades or transcript for the semester. Instead of sheepishly returning the books and paying the fines, I put the books in my backpack, smuggled them into the library, and returned them all to their correct places on the shelves. I then called the library the next day and questioned the validity of the letter regarding my overdue books. The librarian left me on hold for a few minutes and returned to the phone, apologizing to me that it seemed the books had in fact been returned. Library dues were erased and they didn't hold back my transcript. That's the end of the story.
That's fucking awesome.
I'd say, I think if you're scamming college, that's a good little scam.
That's
honest scamming right there.
That's so specific. It's like, there's no way that's not real.
And if you're feeling guilty about that, that's phenomenal. Because college library overdue fee, who fucking cares?
Oh, yeah. No, that's perfect.
There's probably some fee you pay. If you itemize your college tuition, there's probably some fee you already pay for like library dues.
Uh-huh.
So who fucking cares?
Yeah.
The schools make awesome. Like billions of dollars, man. That's fine.
I think that is wonderful.
Yeah, that is wonderful. And the fact that you went in, put them all back, and then was like, hey, can you just check the shelves? Just check them. They're there. That's great.
I think the only thing that would be suspicious is all of their books in different categories, like this one person, and they all happen to maybe they probably thought in the librarian probably thought, oh, maybe they all returned them at once, but it was like so specific to this one person. Like the assumption would have to be that they returned them all at once one day before they were due, and then like somebody fucked up.
What would be crazy though if they were like, man, how did this happen? We run a tight ship around here.
Yeah,
and they're like, somebody's getting chewed out for this.
They escalated to another level. They start looking at the cameras. Oh, that'd be bad.
That would be bad. See, that's when cameras get annoying again.
Yeah. I'm
trying to run a nice little scam. No, it's
cameras are the biggest issue when it comes to scams. Security cameras.
Yeah, no, they really are.
No cameras. And just one right here. No
cameras. Oh, I thought you were looking for bugs.
No, I'm not looking for bugs. I'm bug free now in my apartment.
Oh, no more fruit flies?
Fruit flies. Well, I got a machine.
Oh, it sucks them up.
Yeah, I got that machine that sucks them up, and it's wonderful.
That's good. That's good. We get a minor amount, but it's not bad. When we were living in that apartment, that small apartment with the big window, we hit like critical levels of fruit flies.
Really?
I don't know how it happened, but like since then, it's never even gotten close to that bad. I had the yellow stickies everywhere. It was weird.
I just got that one thing. And it'll turn on automatically at night, and it has like a little light with a little fan that goes reverse, like it's a little suction.
Yeah.
So it sucks. It's like the light brings the flies in. They get sucked in the thing, and then there's a little pad at the bottom. So it just kind of like any flies that happen to, you kind of just have to wait for it, you know? Yeah. But it's only one device. Yeah. It just sits, you know? So it's nice.
No, that's cool.
Yeah.
Those things are a pain. If you guys got them, trust me, you'll get through this.
Yeah, you'll survive. You'll survive. The biggest issue with that fern I had, that was like the source of it. And I don't even know where they come from. It's not like...
Well, I think a big problem is buying infected plants from a place. Like, I think I'm actually... Oh, wait. I have a real ass confession right now. I knowingly gave my friend the fruit flies through some propagations I gave him. And the next time I went over to his
house... Am I your friend?
Have you ever received a propagation from me?
I have.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I have.
How? When?
Every time you were in LA, you're always picking up little pieces of plants.
Oh, no. No, like I gave you a cutting from my own collection.
Oh, you bastard. Who'd you do this to?
I did it to Derek and his wife. Yeah, and the next time I went
over
to his
house... You did that to a family?
I did. Yeah, with children, pets.
Oh.
And I went over there a couple weeks later for beers or something. They got the yellow stickies up. I was like...
Wait, so how did the flies follow the...
I probably gave him it in like a mason jar with water or something, or like it was in like a little soil. Like some of these, like he's given me cuttings and like he'll give me like, they're in like a mason jar.
So they're like their eggs are laid in the ground or something?
Yeah, they'll lay eggs in the soil and stuff. So if you're like sharing soil or water, yeah. No, and I felt bad about it, but... It is what it is, man. It is what it is.
Yeah, seriously. Okay.
Well, now I'm getting him big and famous on Twitch, so paid out for him.
There you go. I think that's all the time we have for the main episode, but we're going to keep chilling on the Patreon, so don't go away. If you want to join us over at the Patreon, you can.
If you join us on the Patreon when my son is born, I will tell him all of the people that are a part of the Patreon, and I'll say these people... made this happen. I'll be like,
he'll be holding his son and he will read off the usernames to his newborn son, and hopefully if you're lucky his first word will be a username.
I'd be like, smoke underscore session 420 paid $5 for this moment.
Their first word is gonna be prime
Twitch
prime gifted.
Gifted. Gifted subs. Oh, daddy, I want subs. I gifted some subs recently. I actually started a hype train for Derek.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, when I'm paying it forward, just like you used to do to me.
You're a hero.
I'm a hero. Well,
which
you know,
by extension makes me one.
I have another comment on this, but I'll save it for the Patreon.
Okay. All right, folks. Have a good week. We'll see you next week. And join us at the Patreon if you want to have more good time. Otherwise, we'll see you next time.
Okay, bye.